Bienvenidos, welcome, and thank you for joining us for Season 2, Episode 5 of the Pana Familia podcast with Eduardo and Nicole, where we discuss our experience relocating to and raising our three young children here in Panama, share our journey of building our new farm and home here in Central America, and let you know what we're learning along the way. We're glad you're here. Vaminos! Hola, amigos. Hello. Eduardo and Nicole here.
¿Qué pasa? What's up, everyone?
Everyone. We thought we'd start with just a little kind of life update. What's been going on? What's been going on with the dome? Just a minute or so of that. And then today we are going to talk about what we have learned since relocating to Panama. So the last two episodes were what we missed from the USA, then it was what we love about Panama, and now we're gonna wrap up this kind of little, I don't know, series or whatever with what we have learned since moving here. Yeah, so what do you think?
Sounds good. Yeah. Just give a quick little update about what's going on?
Yeah, just kind of what's been going on maybe with the cow thing, then a little bit about how the dome's going, anything about life here.
The dome's moving along pretty well. The guys made pretty good progress on the main dome this week, and they're moving along on the kids' dome, and we just seen a lot of progress last week, and it seems like this week we're going to see a lot more progress.
Talk about the closet. Going in the closet.
So the closet, they were today, they put the blocks over for the roof of the closet, and it's basically completely like almost, there's a little opening in the top because there's a couple more blocks I had to put, but I went in there and it was like so cool.
Yeah, really fresh.
It was
really
like
fresh and
it
cool.
Was kind of like, am I in the same country?
Like a cave, almost.
Yeah, almost,
right?
Like, yeah, it was almost like a cave. It was just really cool, and I was like, holy camole, this.
Yeah, he was like, go in the closet, and I was like, why? There was so, like, scaffolding and guys working, and I was like, why do you want me to go in there? And he's like, just trust me, go in the closet.
And she went in there, and I just said, what do you think? And she's like, it's so much cooler. It's just, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was nice to see that.
But, yeah, and then we also had a school come on Saturday. And we have another school coming on Saturday, and a university, not a school, university.
Yeah, these are architecture classes from local universities, like the ones in David, which is cool.
Yeah, so we have another class coming on Saturday, and we've given about 7 tours now, I think.
To people around here.
Between
that, like,
families, people we don't know that see it from the road, and now universities. But our architect... one of the main architects from Panama basically told me, he's like, you're going to have the most famous home amongst architects in Panama because of just how...
It'll go in a textbook or what?
Yeah, how odd it is. So that was pretty funny to hear. But
well, they just need to come, like, stand inside of it when it's done, and they'll be like, oh, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. So that,
because, like, even all the kids yesterday or on Saturday were like, ay... Tengo mucho calor, like, they're all sweating and hot, and I mean, they come from David where it's hot, but still, like, being out on the farm in the sunlight and then going inside of it and feeling it, I'm sure they felt the difference.
So that's a little update on the dome. Other than that, we're just living life, waiting for Nicole's parents to get here next week, which is pretty exciting. This will be our first
family visit,
first visitors from another country or from home that are specifically visiting us. So that'll be cool. We're going to show them some spots that we like and
show them our farm, which will be really cool.
Kind of explain to them why we, or hopefully they can see why we moved here. They think we live like in a fifth world country that has like no services. So like, I'm excited for them to see that like, oh, it's
They have like running water and
it's more modernized than what we thought.
Wireless internet and cars.
And cars, yeah. They're not on horseback.
Some of them are.
But. Yeah, yeah, but.
Yeah, we have six calves now.
Yep.
And everyone except one has been really, really healthy. We had one loss, but that's part of, you know, part of life.
Part of raising animals.
And the grass, it's been about 2 weeks now of like semi-consistent rain, like every few days. And it's been the last 2 days actually that we've got some really big rain. So the grass is turning green. All the leaves are coming back. Our fields, all the pastures looking like really nice and green again. It's not so dusty. So yeah, it's been nice to have rain again. And I'm excited that that happened before my parents came too, because I wanted them to see it green, not like dry and brown.
Yeah, it's a lot prettier here when it's green.
Yeah.
It was only dry for like 1 month because it holds pretty strong.
It lasts for a while, yeah. Yeah, it was like just,
March was just like brown and windy and dry and hot. But I'm hoping it rains a little more because I want to take them to the waterfalls.
Yeah, our creek's still not running. The waterfalls aren't going.
So that one might be a little bit of a stretch just because it is so close. But, yeah, you know, you never know.
We'll see. Hey, honey. So we're gonna get into talking about what we've learned since moving to Panama. And me and Eduardo came up with some different ideas, personally. And we'll just kind of share those back and forth, I guess. Okay, baby. I'll let you start. What's something that you've learned since living in Panama? Living here in Los Angeles.
I'm going to put two together. I'm going to stagger mine because they're kind of connected.
Okay. Staggering is spacing them out.
Oh, sorry.
You're going to connect yours?
I'm going to connect mine. And that way Nicole can do a couple by herself. I learned that the Earth is not flat because we are in the middle of the equator, quote unquote, closer to the sun than the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere, wherever you live. And the sun burns a lot more. It gets a lot. It's not hotter per se. It's just hotter when you're in the sun. It feels like the sun is actually burning you.
Yeah, yeah. You can feel the heat more.
So I've been very conscious about wearing hats when I'm working at the farm. Wearing t-shirts when surfing at certain times of the day. Just very conscious about the sun and the heat. Even though it's not that hot, like I said, it probably, you know, during the hot times it gets up to 95. And right now it's in the, you know, 80s because of we had some rain, but it's still a little humid, which is fine. So, and with that, constant year-round above 80 degrees here in Las Lajas. I've also learned that I miss cold weather.
I'll second that.
Yeah, I used to hate cold weather in Turlock. I used to always kind of, oh, I love the summer, 110 degrees. Give me the pool and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I kind of miss that little break we had from December to March. And now, when we vacation, I just want to visit the cooler areas.
Yes.
Or when we leave, when we go on a day trip, I'm always looking for cooler parts of the country, like up in the mountains where it's like 10 to 15 degrees cooler. So, yeah, that's what I've learned, just kind of like the weather side of things.
Yeah. One of the things I've learned is I really enjoy living in like a really small town. I mean, growing up in Turlock, it used to be a lot smaller and, you know, we knew everyone on our street. And when I was young, I was friends with all the kids on the street and, you know, we could walk around not just our block, but like multiple blocks. And my parents weren't worried about us. And, you know, we could ride our bikes without helmets and all sorts of like, you know, cool stuff that like a lot of kids maybe can't do anymore. A lot of parents don't let their kids do, but like living here in this really small town, and we aren't living on the street that we're going to be, you know, living on eventually, but
which is even quieter.
Yeah. But we do drive down it almost every day. And we wave to the people and we see kids playing. And I know that like Jude and Jesse and Jean will be able to like ride their bikes. I mean, Jude already takes bike rides by himself down this road and I'm like comfortable with it. You wave to people, you can stop by people's houses real quick, drop off, you know, this or that. It's nice for us, but I think it'll be really nice for the kids as they're growing up to just be able to walk to school, ride their bike to school, ride their bike to the pizza place, to the park. Know more people, be able to, you know, go ask your neighbors for something. Where we lived when we left Turlock, we knew our closest neighbors, but that was pretty much it. I mean, we didn't have tons of connections with the people on our street. Everyone just kind of like stays inside their house, you know? But here, like, everyone's always outside on their porch. When you walk or drive by, you can wave to them. They're riding their bikes to the store. And so you just have more connection. And kind of going along with that is I've really seen the more like the more personalization and like friendliness and kindness of people here. Like, people are just more personable. They always say your name when they see you, when they're sending you messages. They always use your name like multiple times in messages, which I think is really sweet. And it's kind of convicted me to do that more too, not just be like, hey, what's up? Like, but you say, you call people by their name. And that also helps you learn the name. Instead of just sending like short voice messages like, hey, I'm here, or where are you? Everyone here uses WhatsApp, but they always send the voice memos. And so we all do that too. We've caught on to that trend, but it's like talking on the phone, but if you don't have time to like make a phone call or the person can't answer, at least they can still hear your voice. And you can like kind of check in, and they're always like, oh, hey, how are you doing? How are the kids? And here is why I'm contacting you. People just take more time to like be nice. Everyone's not in a rush and a hurry and just completely self-absorbed, I guess. And I mean, this is for us too. Like, we've learned to be, I feel like, nicer and more, you know, take more time to be friendlier too since being here and slow down, you know? People like loving on our kids and taking the time to play with them and willing to help us outside of like the job that we've hired them for, like the guys helping us with our cows on the farm when, you know, we really are only paying them to like lay bricks for us. So, that's been really cool to see that just like cultural difference. And I mean, that's one of the reasons we kind of wanted to live in a different culture too.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the benefits of that.
And that's part of the small town living. Just everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Literally everyone knows each other.
Yeah. And if you need something like, hey, who can I go ask about this or that?
And also like, if they don't know you personally, they like know of you.
Okay. Eduardo had to run to meet someone in town real quick to grab some meat, but I'm going to keep talking until he gets back. Another thing I've learned here is I've learned more Spanish. I was very committed to making sure that I, you know, learn the language. And before moving here, I definitely know like a good amount of Spanish as far as like being able to have some simple conversations, but understanding people when they talk very quickly is difficult. And then there's like I told Eddie just a couple weeks ago, like I really only know like present tense stuff. Like talking about doing stuff in the past or doing stuff in the future is very hard for me. So I know a lot of verbs. Like I've learned a lot of verbs in school and over time, like knowing, you know, people who speak Spanish. But then conjugating those verbs into past tense or future tense, I just don't know those. And I guess that's something I could look in a book for. But I've learned a lot of it just by listening to people and then like asking Eddie. He speaks, you know, fluent Spanish. And he speaks Mexican Spanish, which is a little different. But for the most part, I mean, it gets him along just fine here, which is great. So, yeah, I've learned in the past 9 months, I think I've progressed my Spanish fairly well. And I try to use it as much as possible. We have multiple people, you know, that we see on a daily basis that only speak Spanish. And I always try to have some sort of conversation with them. And instead of being nervous to say something wrong, I just have to force myself just to say it. And, you know, either they'll correct me or they'll figure out what I'm trying to say. And everyone's really nice about it, obviously. And I think about if it were me, if someone was trying to like speak English to me, I wouldn't think they were dumb. I would just be like, oh, like you're trying really hard and let me help you. This is how you say it, you know? So yeah, that was one of my goals too for like when I made my goals for 2024, that was one of them, to just work even harder on speaking Spanish better. So that's been another thing I've learned here. And another one is that you don't need to live on the beach in order to enjoy like the perks of living near the beach. So kind of coming here, I feel like we had more this idea that we were going to buy a farm that was going to be like almost like ocean view or something, or like, you know, 5 minute drive, or even, you know, like right along the coast. But we've found this farm, you know, that's a 15 minute drive from our house to the beach, and it's just perfect. And when you talk to people who do have their homes on the beach, they do share that, you know, the saltwater damage is real and they're constantly having to replace, you know, fixtures and anything metal in the house, appliances, I guess, paint, all stuff on their car. So dealing with that is like, you know, not something that we really wanted to deal with, but knowing that the beach is that close and that we can just have a short drive over there, even a nice long bike ride if we wanted to, is really beautiful. We can't smell the salty air necessarily, but we get those sea breezes. And actually where our farm is only not even 2 miles probably from a different beach, but it's just, you know, there's not a direct road out there. We're hoping that in the next, you know, 10, 15 years there will be, which would be really cool. They'd pave that road and clear it out a little bit so it's easier to get there. But we really are, like, if you look on, we got some drone photos done. And if you look at the drone photos, you can see the ocean, like, from our farm, like, when the drone was, I don't even know, maybe 50 feet up in the air. Okay, Eduardo's back, and we're gonna finish up with the last few things that we've learned after being here in Panama. I wanted to talk about that, like, there's a lot more going on in Las Lajas than like we originally thought. You know, just after living here, you kind of learn that, right?
Yeah, that's actually true. When we first got here, I was like, oh man, it's really quiet. We found a really good restaurant. Supposedly one of the best restaurants in our province. Mm-hmm. And it was funny, I've been playing pickleball with a guy for like a few months.
Didn't even know.
I mean, he told me, oh yeah, we own the Naturalmente boutiques. But no one ever told me.
I just thought it was just mainly a hotel.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But like everyone goes there.
Yeah.
For all their special occasions and stuff, because it's like a really good restaurant.
Yeah, and their food is just amazing. And not even by like Panamanian standards, it's just really good food.
Yeah, yeah. It's all really fresh. The basketball league.
The basketball league that I was in.
I've found multiple, I think I've said this before, multiple yoga classes, multiple people who do massages. Swan told us about like a kid's like dance class, remember? They teach traditional like Panamanian like dancing.
We found a church. We found a church.
Like a non-Catholic church. No hate to the Catholics, but yeah. Something other than a Catholic church. Yeah, that was cool.
You got the kids soccer league, and there's a kids soccer league that they've told me about.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there's a lot more going on than we thought. We just kind of slowly discovered stuff, little by little.
Yeah, and after talking to people and stuff, that's just natural, I think.
Which yeah, is, yeah.
You just have to live here to find that stuff out. Yeah.
And then also, it went, like, just the carnival party month.
Oh, just learning how that goes. Yeah.
Stop Never seen so much people in town ever. And it was just like, oh, wow, people come down here just for this.
You want to talk about the bugs?
One thing I've learned about raising cattle down here is the how much bugs there is down here as far as dealing with cattle. Between the ticks and the worms, the flies that plant worms and
well they lay their eggs yeah, and then the larva or the
worm, it's just like I've never seen so much bug
issues
anywhere. And I just left up for a little bit to get some meat from another cattle producer, and he was telling me he's dealing with the same thing
on his calves or
on
what? His
on everything, just anything with an open wound.
Oh, just there's the calves are like really bad right now, I guess.
Calves are the easiest because, you know, newborn calves, because they have the umbilical cord.
And that's what happened to two of ours. They got bugs or they got worms in there because the flies go in there and they lay their eggs. Yeah. And then
We started a protocol to try to avoid it. And then he was telling me that, like, you can't even brand your cattle because, like, right now the worms will find a opening.
Well, that's what I asked you when you said, oh, Yvonne said we should brand the cows. And I was like, wouldn't that get.
Yeah. So he was saying,
you can't do much of anything. Yeah. You can't ear tag, probably. You shouldn't ear tag right now.
Yeah, he said he can't ear tag. He said he had a friend that ear tagged who waited 4 months to ear tag his calves, and they still got bugs in the ears. We had two get bugs in their ears months after they got ear tagged. Yeah, the bugs, it's been quite the...
Learning experience. We just have to learn how to deal with them, and it's all about, I think, prevention. And like he said, we have a protocol now with the umbilical cords.
I tied up a cow the other day and started picking ticks off of her.
And then found a tick on yourself.
And then found a tick on myself that day.
Yeah, we're not used to ticks. I know there's parts of the U.S. that have bad ticks, but like we weren't used to them where we're from.
Yeah, we're not used to ticks at all. These suckers get pretty big too.
Yeah.
But,
so it's not really bugs like, oh, bugs around the house or whatever. It's more like dealing with the bugs on the animals is what is the biggest issue.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you got your bugs that bother us, like mosquitoes and...
Yeah, but that's just...
Chitres, whatever they're called.
But
you kind of just...
Expect that.
You expect that
you're in
here.
A jungle.
We found a scorpion in the bathroom the other day.
It was dead, but yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
On the topic of nature, I've learned a lot about like local trees and plants and flowers. That's another goal of mine, is to, you know, learn about all the local flora and fauna, and obviously because we're going to implement that into our farm. And so that's been something that I've been working on, and I've always got my eyes open, and if I see something beautiful that I like or just interesting, I got this like plant app that I use, and it works pretty well, identifying stuff, and we've been, you know, growing lots of things from seeds here, and things just grow so quickly. I was looking under a tree at our farm today, and since we've had a few heavy rains, like I said, there's just, like, thousands of sprouts of, like, baby trees and all sorts of sprouts that I don't even know what they are. So, yeah, that's a really cool thing about here, trying to grow stuff, is stuff grows really fast because of all the rain and then all the sun. Almost done. We're almost done, yeah. And I guess I'll just throw this in last for myself, is since moving to the hotel. But being here in general, we've learned to live without certain things and learned how to live without power and water when it happens. We've learned how to live in a small space, limited amenities, limited conveniences. And that's been really good for us. I feel like all this stuff has been really positive. Yeah, I feel like we've both like grown in a good way after being here. I feel like we've learned a lot, like personally, and then just all these kind of funny, cool things that we've learned. And I've grown a lot since being here and just kind of being pushed past your comfort zone, language-wise and living-wise. It's always good for you. It's good for us. It's good for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, like Nicole said, like Panama is a pretty developed country, but like we live in a pretty rural part, and we're an hour away from a big town, so like a lot of the quote-unquote American services you would expect, or stuff that for the United States you expect, are not here, and we've kind of just learned to live without them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, just kind of, you kind of realize what's important, what's not. Like, I was telling Nicole yesterday, like, I always felt like in the United States when we bought groceries, I felt like sometimes we didn't eat everything, and some stuff went to waste because it went bad. And I think a lot of it is because it was so accessible, or so easily accessible. You know, we lived like 2 minutes away from a Save Mart, or Nicole could order something in the morning and have it delivered within a few hours from the Instacart driver.
Mm-hmm.
But here, we're doing one grocery trip a week, and we're really like doing really good about being efficient about what we buy. And like, we always, I don't feel like anything ever goes to waste. Like, we eat everything.
Yeah, our fridge is empty, and then we go grocery shopping.
Yeah, literally, like, right now our schedule is we go every Thursday, and by like Wednesday, we always get pizza because like we just don't have anything.
Any food left.
And I think that's good. That means we're not wasting anything. We're just being very efficient with what we buy. And yeah, so I think that's just like a very good trait to have, because like food waste is not. I just don't like seeing that, just because of how much poverty you see, and that we just buy we used to buy in excess. It's just like,
mm-hmm.
It makes me feel good that we're not wasting
food.
And then, yeah, also the small space, we kind of learned with like how small of a space we can keep going down to and still not hate each other or our kids.
I think lately it's really been pushing us. I think just because it's been, you know, like 5 months now that we've been living here in this one room. Just no boundaries.
yeah. But like, it's going to make our home, whenever it gets finished, like feel like a mansion.
Yeah.
Because of how small the space we're used to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been kind of like.
And living with around other people too.
Living around other people. We're going to go.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah. We're going to go back to, we're on our own again, like how it used to be in the United States.
We have privacy.
Privacy and stuff like that. But yeah, we've learned, you know, how much we can handle. My last thing that I learned is the beach does not lose its aura or pizzazz or...
like excitement?
Excitement. Like, I thought after a year being here, I'm probably get tired of going to the beach. But, like, every time we go out there, I'm always like, man, we freaking live here? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Still can't believe it. You know, whether it's me in the morning when I go surfing... During the day when we spend the day out in a hammock over there, or in the evenings when we watch the sunset, every single time I'm always like, oh yeah, we live here. Oh yeah, this is awesome. This is like 10 minutes from our house. And I just, still hasn't lost its excitement and joy of living by the beach, which I hope never happens.
So what are you saying? What was that that you've learned from that?
Like the pizzazz of living in a foreign. I feel like the pizzazz of living in a foreign country is gone. Like I just live somewhere else.
You just don't live in Turlock anymore.
Yeah,
but like you don't think you live like super far from home.
Yeah, like yeah, I like.
I see.
Yeah, like right now I'm like, oh yeah. I mean, when we first moved here, it was like, oh wow, we live in another country, and this is so exciting, and this and that. Wow, you know, we're out there, and now like that's completely gone. I just like, oh, we just live here. it is what it is. But like the beach, still go to it, and like I said, every single time it's just like exciting.
I said
the excitement of living in a new country is gone.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same, and I think that's nice because you feel a little more settled than at home and comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember that first night when we got here, how we felt. When we arrived, we were both just like,
what did we do?
Oh my gosh. I remember my stomach was just in knots. Yeah, so that's what we've reflected on over the past 9 months of being residents here.
Yeah. I don't even know who's listening to this.
I know Chelsea is. She told me she was. Hi, Chelsea, if you hear this.
If you're still listening.
She's about to have a baby, so she might not listen for a while.
No. Congrats.
Love you, Chelsea. Okay, we will talk to you guys next week. Ciao.
Adios.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next time on the Panna Familia podcast.